The Democratic National Committee sponsors the following program on behalf of the Democratic candidates in the 1952 campaign.
It's up to you.
Hello, this is India Edwards. I'm ringing your doorbell again today to remind you to register so that you can vote on November 4th. Who's going to win the election? It's up to you.
This is another in a series of transcribed discussions with the women of America. During this program, we will hear from India Edwards, Vice Chairman and Women's Director of the Democratic National Committee. We will also hear from...
Who?
Me?
Yes, both of you.
I'm not two.
I'm only one.
My name is Schizo.
Phrenia.
My motto is yes.
And then again, no. I'm a...
Republican.
Yes, later on, Schizo will show us the way the Republicans are taking both sides of another important national issue.
Well, I don't know, Evelyn. I appreciate your asking me.
We need all the help we can get.
Yes, I suppose you do, but...
But what, Mary? It isn't as though you couldn't spare the time, is it?
No, I guess not.
Well, then...
Well, I just don't know whether I want to get involved in it again this year.
You're going to vote?
Oh, of course.
Well, aren't you interested in seeing that others do, too?
Yes, naturally, but...
But you don't want to be a precinct worker. Mary, I wish you would.
But you get so involved.
Yes, you do. But somebody has to.
I know that. I just don't know if I want to.
Look, Mary, think it over, huh? Don't decide now. Call me tonight.
Well, oh, there's somebody at the front door, Evelyn.
Okay, go ahead. Don't forget now. Think about it and call me tonight. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I suppose I ought to, but... Oh, well. I'm coming.
Hello, I'm India Edwards, and I've brought along a very special guest with me today, Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Oh, I... Mrs. Roosevelt, how do you do? And Mrs. Edwards, both of you. Please come in, won't you?
Thank you.
If you'll just come into the living room. Sit down, won't you? Mrs. Roosevelt, I have a little list. It's only a mental list of different people that I've always wanted to meet. I never dreamed that I'd not only get to meet you, but that you would be here right in my own home.
You're very kind. I'm happy to meet you and to be here in your own home.
I brought Mrs. Roosevelt today because this is Democratic Women's Day, a very special day for us Democratic women. It was Mrs. Roosevelt who suggested in 1939 that we should celebrate Democratic Women's Day each year.
But 1939 isn't the important date. The date which Democratic Women's Day commemorates goes all the way back to 1919.
The fall of 1919. I suppose that's when women got the vote.
No, that didn't come until 6 months afterward. Democratic Women's Day commemorates the day on which women were admitted for the first time to the National Executive Committee of a major political party, the Democratic Party.
Oh, I see. I had no idea that women were getting to use their influence as far back as that, especially before they were even permitted to vote.
I think it is unfortunate that sometimes we have to wait to be underestimated before we will go ahead and prove that we will do something. That's why I suggested Democratic Women's Day, so that we could see for ourselves what women have done in the past in government, and even more important, what we can do now and in the future. I think the women of America can take a great deal of pride in the part we are playing today in government. But of course, there's still so much to be done by us.
I suppose so. But I've always felt that being active in government is like anything else. We're not all so talented as some.
I wonder what talents are considered important.
Well, you ought to be, first of all, I should think, a leader. You have to believe in something and be able to make others believe in it too.
Yes. But I don't think the word leader should frighten one away. I suspect that more of us have qualities of leadership than we think. The mother who raises a child is using leadership. The wife who advises her husband...
And led him to the altar in the first place.
Yes. Most men are quite willing to grant that all women are expert leaders when it comes to that. But any woman who has firm convictions and a desire to see those convictions put into action is, in a sense, a leader. Of course, we're not all born leaders.
That's what I'm afraid of.
But then most young mothers, when they arrive home from the hospital with their first baby, when they find themselves face to face with the alarming prospect of having to care for this tiny infant, I think most of them suddenly realize, maybe for the first time, that they weren't born mothers either. No, it's true that we aren't all born leaders, but it's something we can develop if we try. What other talents does it take to be a woman active in government, in politics?
You have to be interested in politics to begin with.
Yes, but let me ask you this. Do you care what kind of a school your children attend? Are you concerned with your home? Do you care whether or not your husband is protected at his job and protected when he doesn't have a job? Are you interested in your family's health? Do you want a peaceful world for them and for yourself to live in? Do you care about any of those things?
I care about all of them and a good deal more.
Then can you truly say that you're not interested in politics? In what our government is doing about all those things, for or against them?
No, I do care.
Do you care enough to want to have a hand in working for the good things and against the bad?
I guess I should, Mrs. Roosevelt, but I don't know how much of a hand.
That's not an easy question to decide. Some of us can do a lot. Some of us can do a little. But all of us should do something. My husband once said that it's not so much the president who shapes the destinies of the country. It is rather the mass of the citizens who in the long run carve out the future. And I often think that it is women, even more than men, who really think in terms of the future. In terms of what it will be like for our children and for our children's children. We invest much time and much money in the future of our children. We should also invest time and money in the kind of government that we want our children to have. I'm afraid I overlooked the second purpose of Democratic Women's Day when I was explaining it. I also thought it would be an excellent way of raising funds for the women's division of the Democratic Party.
I guess we have to be practical.
Yes, by all means, we have to be practical. The best of ideals dies without the means to put it into action. There are some people I know who dislike it when the minister talks about money at church services. It seems so out of keeping. But I'm afraid that even our churchmen must eat if they are to go on serving us nourishment of the soul. Yes, we must be practical.
I guess it isn't enough, then, just to vote.
It's enough if that's the most we can do. But there are many women in America today who could and should do more. In the precinct, in the town or county, in the city, the state, the federal government, in the world.
Mrs. Roosevelt, how would you apply your ideas to the present political campaign?
For the reasons I've mentioned, I feel that the Democratic nominee, Governor Adlai Stevenson, is the best candidate for president. I know Governor Stevenson, and I have a great admiration for him. He did all the preparatory work in setting up the machinery of the United Nations in preparation for the first organization meeting in London in 1946. And when we, the delegates, arrived, he helped us because he knew the delegates from all the other countries that were coming together. I feel we need a man who takes a liberal view and knows people all over the world. We need a man who thinks in terms of civilian organization. And that man is Governor Stevenson.
And you feel that women should take an active part in Governor Stevenson's campaign?
Yes, I do. And that brings us back again to Democratic Women's Day. It was my hope that Democratic Women's Day would serve to stimulate women into taking a really active part in politics. You see, we do not commemorate a great man just because we want to cherish his memory. We commemorate him more because we want to stir within ourselves a renewal of those same qualities of greatness for which that man stood. In the same sense, Democratic Women's Day should serve to remind us of the great potentialities that the women of America have for actively promoting good government, for making themselves part of a great democratic movement that can sustain a nation and eventually a world of united nations. That is my purpose and my goal. I think we shall reach it.
Mrs. Roosevelt, you make me feel somehow that we will.
We will. Goodbye, my dear. Good luck and good work.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mrs. Edwards.
Hello, Evelyn. This is Mary.
Oh, hi.
Well, I've decided I'll be a precinct worker.
But you said...
Yes, I know what I said earlier today, but then you see, you never know what a day will bring or who to make what you said before seem small.
You have just heard an interview with Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. And that brings us to our favorite Republican split right down the middle, Schizo and Frenia.
Hello. I've got something different for you today.
Fine. I think it's time we had a change around here.
We'll start with Schizo. Quote?
I think there is a proper argument against having a general as a political candidate. With the exception of General George Washington, generals have not been a particular political success.
Unquote.
Senator Taft said that.
Well, Renia, what have you got to say?
Oh, this is...
terrible.
I have to agree with...
Schizo.
Just this once.
Quote.
The necessary and wise subordination of the military to civil power will be best sustained when lifelong professional soldiers abstain from seeking high political office.
Unquote.
General Eisenhower said that.
Well, I'm happy there's at least one thing you Republicans can agree on, that generals belong in uniform.
I promise...
that will be our...
first...
and...
last...
agreement.
I know that's one promise you'll keep. The American people know that there is no argument about the political experience of the Democratic presidential nominee, Adlai Stevenson, who made a brilliant record as the governor of the great state of Illinois. You have just heard It's Up to You, another in a series of transcribed discussions with the women of America. Listen in again on Monday, same time, same station, for another visit by India Edwards with her guest, Edith Sampson, United States Delegate to the United Nations.
This transcribed program came to you from New York. This is ABC. The preceding program was sponsored by the Democratic National Committee on behalf of the Democratic candidates in the 1952 campaign. This is ABC Radio Network.
WJZ, New York's first station, and WJZ-FM.